the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
Big, big night in our household is our 10-year-old's got a choir performance coming up later. She's all, she's dolled up. Can I say that? She's all, she's got on her finest clothes. She's wondering what I am going to be wearing to this choir performance. She has suggested that I wear the t-shirt that says, "Awesome like my daughter." I don't know if that's appropriate. We might start some trouble at this concert event. John Wilner, my good friend and my co-host on Canzano and Wilner, the podcast, joining us now. You have choir performances in your household. What kind of performances are you guys going to over the years?
Nobody in my household can sing. We got dance performances, and baseball games, and that's where most of our time is spent. What is the what are they going to sing? Bohemian Rhapsody?
I have no idea, man. They're 10 years old. I don't know what's going on. All I know is I need to be there, and I know this radio show is going to end, and I have 10 minutes to get to the school after the radio show. So I will be hopefully people will clear out of my way and pull over to the side of the road as they see me coming. So we'll see how that goes. Hey, you've been busy, man. You've been doing a lot of different things. I saw somebody asked you as part of your mailbag, what about the ACC schools leaving, potentially coming back to the Pac-12? What'd you say about that?
Yeah, well, after that ACC settlement last week, you know, there was a lot of repercussions for that. And those repercussions are going to last for many years. And it immediately prompted some folks to wonder what it might mean for the Pac-12 to kind of reform with some of the legacy schools, in particular Cal and Stanford. Because basically the ACC settlement has kind of put an expiration date on the ACC. And it's in the early 2030s. And Cal and Stanford may need a home. So it sparked a lot of conversation about what might happen out here. And I think that there's a pretty good chance that we will see a version of the Pac-12 in the early 2030s, you know, a version of what it used to look like in the early 2030s. I don't think football will be part of it, but it's very possible that all the other sports will be back here in a regionalized, big regionalized conference.
I am eager to see what happens with, you know, football after whatever this version of football is. But the timeline, I think we can agree on, if things are murky and we don't know what's going to happen, but, you know, everybody kind of points to like 2030 to 2032 as when the next round of things happen. Why is that?
Well, because there's a whole lot of contracts. There are basically six contracts holding college sports together, and they all expire in the first 4 years of the next decade. 2030 is the Big Ten media rights. 2031 is the Big 12. 2032 is the NCAA tournament and the college football playoff. 2034 is the SEC. And then the ACC's in 2036, but their changes as part of that settlement kind of moved that up a little bit. So those contracts are what's holding the whole shebang in place, and they all expire in that same window. So a lot of people think that that's right when the next big change is going to take place. But the thing is, the Big Ten is first plane off that runway, and their contract expires in the summer of 2030. But in media rights negotiations, which could include expansion and membership discussions, those are going to start in like late 28 or 29. So even though the next form of college sports may not emerge until, say, 2032 to 2034, the legal piece of it and the schools lining up in their new conferences is all going to start in like 2029, because it has to be in place for the Big Ten's next deal, and that's the first domino to fall.
John Wilner with us. Look, everybody's sick of hearing about the House settlement, but yet there's a story on it every day. This development, that development. I find it very interesting that they've got this committee that is formed to help the defendants deal with the with the fallout of the settlement, and there include, you know, there's some Pac-12, presence on it, including Scott Barnes, and yet the Pac-12 doesn't get recognized as the Power Five; it's the Power Four. I mean, what do you make of that? Like, the liability, you can line up and take it, but the benefit, no, you're not part of it.
A little bit, yes. So the big piece there is that the Pac-12, that House settlement was filed when the Pac-12 was in existence as we used to know it. The Pac-12 is a named defendant along with the NCAA and then the ACC, Big Ten, SEC, and Big 12. As a named defendant, the Pac-12 is part of the House lawsuit, considered on the same tier as those other conferences. Now, for the purposes of the college football playoff, for instance, the Pac-12 is no longer a power conference, right? It has been relegated down to the level of the American and the Mountain West in terms of being kind of boxed out. So the CFP views the Pac-12 one way, but this lawsuit views it another way because of when the lawsuit was filed. And that's a big reason why, as a defendant, why Scott Barnes from Washington State and Ann McCoy from Barnes from Oregon State and Ann McCoy from Washington State are on this committee, is the Pac-12 is a big part of the settlement.
Wilner, you know, Oregon coach Dan Lanning says he's going to have a spring game. Oregon is full boat recruiting. They have had great recruiting classes. I left the CFP thinking, gosh, I wish, you know, maybe they'd invest some of the money in finding a Dennis Erickson type or the equivalent of Dennis Erickson, maybe on the defensive side of the ball to help Tosh Lapoy as a coach. How much should Oregon fans be concerned about the coaching of all this talent?
I would say mild. I don't think it's a zero for sure, but I don't think it's panic level yet. They do have a lot of talent, and there have been some cases in the last couple years where you could look and say, you know what, they certainly could have used a gray hair on that staff. There's no doubt about that. Overall, you can't really complain about the results, but I would say on a 1 to 10 scale, you know, that's maybe a 2 or 3 for sure. It's on there.
I don't know. Maybe the sample size is small, but I left the playoff thinking, gosh, they've got great players. Maybe they need better coaching. Also thinking about the 24-day layoff and, you know, what's going to happen, and meanwhile, everybody declaring the SEC dead after, you know, just maybe a little downturn of a couple of seasons. The power of college football right now, I mean, easy to say it's the Big Ten, but should the SEC be worried?
I don't know. I kind of feel like the SEC issue is partly because they just didn't have very good quarterbacks last year. Mm-hmm. And so let's see if that happens again, but it certainly was not up to the normal standard. I don't think an SEC quarterback made the top 10 of the Heisman voting, which I can't remember the last time that happened. But that's a good example of where the league struggled. And so, you know, we'll see. Maybe the transfer portal and NIL has evened out the talent to the extent that the SEC will never get back to where it was. But I think 1 year is probably a little, it's pretty small sample size. Now, the SEC did not have a team in the championship game the year before, right? That was Washington against Michigan. But Alabama was in the Final Four and played that great game against the Wolverines. So we'll see how it goes. We'll see how it goes. And we'll see where Oregon is able to, you know, find its way in the Big Ten and whether it can continue to stay at the top. I think it's going to be hard for the Ducks to do that. But they certainly have a better path forward than any of the other West Coast schools that are in the Big Ten now.
I'm thinking about Washington in particular now. Yeah. We have a lot of Husky fans who listen and a lot of anti-Husky fans who are curious. But what do you make of Washington's trajectory in football, in basketball, as an athletic department?
Well, basketball is pretty rough. I mean, you know, they didn't even make the Big Ten tournament. So that's not a good scene. I also think that Washington fans for basketball, they should be a little bit concerned. You know, Craig Smith, Utah hired Craig Smith 4 or 5 years ago, and he had done really well at Utah State. He could not get it going at Utah and just got fired. The Huskies just hired Smith's successor, Danny Sprinkle, from Utah State, and he struggled at Washington. So it is possible that it wasn't Sprinkle at Utah State. It was Utah State that was making that thing roll. So we'll see how the Huskies do in the next couple of years. I think you got to give Sprinkle probably two more seasons before you can render judgment. And football is, I don't know. I'm not convinced Washington is going to thrive in the Big Ten the way Oregon is, or maybe even the way USC is. I just don't know that the school is all in with football the way you need to be to compete with Ohio State, Penn State, and Michigan. I'm just not sold on that.
John Wilner is with us. Pac-12 media rights expansion still looming. You're on record. You love Texas State. Tell us why you love Texas State as a potential addition to the Pac-12.
Yeah, I am. I'm taking a little bit of heat for that, too. But I just view it as the conference is got to base its expansion because there's nobody out there that's going to materially change the amount of money they're going to get in the media rights deal right now. But the conference needs to figure out what's going to give it the best position in 5 years or 6 years when it negotiates another media deal. And I think that if you're looking for growth, Texas State is a better play than UNLV or any of the schools in the Mountain West, right? You got Texas recruiting talent. You got Texas oil money. You got Texas football crazy. You got the Texas State system that's got a ton of money. It's a booming area. It's located right between San Antonio and Austin. It's a huge growth spot. And I just think long-term, there's more potential for Texas State football than there is for UNLV football.
Let me ask you, if you take Texas State, do you have to take another Texas school as a travel partner? Or,
Good question.
How big do you need to get?
I don't know that you do. I mean, I actually looked at this. Austin, basically a two-hour flight from Denver. So, if you're playing Colorado Springs in basketball, playing Colorado State, I should say, it's a little bit of a schlep. But, I mean, look at the Big Ten, right? I mean, all the norms for travel have been shattered by realignment. So I don't know that having a school that's close to Austin in a conference that goes to basically Denver, I don't think that's that big a deal. If they work on the other fronts, then I think you kind of just grin and bear it on that travel piece.
Let me ask you this.
Or add somebody else. Maybe add another Texas school. I don't know.
Would you add Rice? I mean, is the Houston market enough? Does the Rice University give the academics something to hang their hat on? I mean, could you, if you're dreaming about getting Cal back someday, do you take Rice?
Yeah, I don't know if you take Rice. I think maybe you try to go to North Texas, or maybe you try to pry Texas San Antonio loose from the American as well. There's a couple options there, and I don't think that those schools, because the way the American financial deal is set up, those schools that have come in more recently, like UTSA and North Texas, they're not making as much money as Memphis and Tulane. So they may be easier to get because the Americans set up their revenue model in a way that gave the long-standing members above average revenue. Like I think Memphis is probably getting $9 or $10 million a year versus North Texas or UTSA that are probably getting $5 or $6 million a year.
I am left eager to see what they do in the media rights front. J.D. Wicker, the athletic director of San Diego State, has pointed to the end of the month. I think, it gets into early April, it's okay. Mid-April, I start to wonder. Late April, I think we start to ask questions. Are you there with me on that timeline?
I am. I think if they get to, April 20th, April 15th, April 20th, and there's no deal, or there's no indication that they're super close, then, yeah, you probably start to ask questions. Because those last, getting the last details ready for them to be able to go public with it, it could take a little while. So it kind of depends a little bit on the vibe. Like, yes, we're close, we're just dotting the I's and crossing the T's. Or, Well, we're not really that close. And if that's the case, and it's April 20th, then yeah, it's worth wondering what's going on.
Yeah, I kind of think they're going to get there okay. Do you get a sense otherwise? I mean, you and I have bantered about this for a long time, and I'm as much as I enjoy it, I'm ready to move on to the next piece, expansion. So the media rights thing seems like it has to happen.
Yeah, I mean, I'm ready for it to happen too, because I don't think that there's this big range of outcomes left. Like, we pretty much have a good idea. It's going to be, you could name like four or five media companies, and it's probably going to be two or three of them, and you could probably pick a pretty good range on the value, you know, $8 to $10 million a school and some combination.
John Wilner,
Fox.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, and that would be it. And so we kind of know what it's going to, the basic framework of what it's going to look like, I think. So, you know, that takes a little bit of the interest off of it.
All right. Well, John Wilner, I appreciate you coming on. You can hear him on Canzano and Wilner, the podcast. We've got Mike Molinari, the Pac-12 Enterprises CEO, on an episode that'll post tomorrow and should be a lot of fun. But, Wilner, thank you, man. Thanks for joining us. And who knew someone in your household could dance?
Yeah, she's good. But good luck at that choir. Don't fall asleep.
I know. Between you and I, we got a singer and a dancer. I love that. All right. Thank you, my friend.
I'll see ya.
There it is. Wilner joining us. That interview with Molinari will post tomorrow, but he did drop a little bit of a nugget. He let on that the Pac-12 may have a little bit of an outlier media company that has come in to carry one of the Olympic sports on the women's side. I kind of think it might be gymnastics that has got some interest from somebody on the non-traditional side, maybe a streaming service that is interested in carrying some women's gymnastics. I don't know. That's my best guess, just based on the comment that was made today by Michael Molinari. I want you to leave it here. We have so much more ahead. Brian Capel is going to join us in Hour 3. He's got stories. He is the creative director from the College Football Playoff. He has been a sneaker designer at Swoosh, that company. Nike. He has designed some cool things for NBA players, all-stars, celebrities. He kind of gets in these interesting predicaments and situations where he is designing things. But also this weekend, he's participating in a baseball and football sports cards show that is going on. Oregon Convention Center. I'm going to stop by on Sunday. Steven, I think you're going by too, but the Front Row Card Show is taking place Saturday and Sunday at the Oregon Convention Center. If you want info on it, frontrowcardshow.com. But show hours are 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. Brian Capel has got a table there. He's not really involved in promoting the show, but he told me, he texted me, he says, are you going to the show? I says, why don't you come on my show and talk about the fact that there is a sports memorabilia show going on at the Oregon Convention Center on Saturday and Sunday. He said yes. He's going to join us coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. Steven, are you going to this thing? I'm going to go on Sunday.
Yeah, I'll be there on Saturday. We got some things on Sunday. I got to work the Timbers game on Sunday. So we're for free on Saturday, so we're heading up with the kids. And Coach Vaughn will be there, too. So it should be a family outing.
260 tables, I'm told. It's sold out, so there's no spots available for people who want to be vendors. I just want to walk around. And I told my 10-year-old, I said, hey, I'm going to go to this thing, and she's like, I want to go. Like, she didn't even allow me to get the question in, so she's going with me on Sunday. So we'll be there as well, but Capel will be talking about it in Hour 3 of the show coming up. I want you to leave it here.